Hey everyone, and welcome back. We're going to be diving deep into data today, specifically data mining, organizational modeling, that sort of thing. We've got two articles here from Adaptive US, and they're really interesting. I think we're going to have a good discussion about them.
Yeah, you know, what I think is so fascinating about data mining and organizational modeling is that they really go hand in hand. You know, data mining is like you're unearthing those raw ingredients of information.
Right.
And then organizational modeling is kind of like the recipe, like how those ingredients come together to form the structure of a business.
I love that analogy of the recipe. So let's start with data mining. One of the articles describes it as kind of this treasure hunt for insights, you know, buried within these mountains of information. But it's not just about understanding what's there. It's about using that information to kind of get a glimpse into the future, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. The ability to predict, to kind of see what's coming next. I mean, imagine knowing what your customers want even before they realize it themselves. I mean, that's the power of data mining. And the funny thing is, this isn't some brand new idea. Data mining, it actually has roots going way back to the 1960s.
Wow, the 60s. I had no idea it went that far back. So back then, how did they even start making sense of all that data? I mean, were they using, like, I don't know, punch cards and things like that?
Well, they did start developing algorithms
right.
to help uncover, you know, those hidden patterns, the relationships. And one of the biggest breakthroughs, I guess you could say game changers, was the a priori algorithm. This was back in the 70s. And, you know, it wasn't just about seeing what people bought together. It was about predicting what they would buy. So imagine, let's say, you're a grocery store in the 70s, right? Suddenly, you can optimize your shelf space based on this algorithm. I mean, it was a game changer for retail.
That's wild. So those eerily accurate product recommendations that we get online now, that's basically what, the a priori algorithm's grandchild or something?
Exactly. The a priori algorithm, it's still the foundation for so much of what we see today, especially in market basket analysis. You know, companies, they analyze your past purchases, they see what you tend to buy together, and boom, they can predict what you're probably going to want next.
That makes so much sense. But one thing that the article mentioned was that the accuracy of these predictions, it all comes down to data quality,
right?
Like, if you have bad data, you're not going to have very good predictions.
Yeah. Garbage in, garbage out, as they say. If the data is inaccurate or if it's incomplete, the predictions, they're not going to be reliable.
Right. So having clean, reliable data, that's key. Now, the article gives this really interesting example of data mining in action. It talks about a governance, risk, and compliance management system. So for those of us who, you know, aren't familiar with that, can you break down what that is?
Sure. So GRC, it stands for Governance, Risk, and Compliance. Mm-hmm. And it basically refers to, like, the systems that companies use to manage their overall risk, make sure they're following all the rules and regulations. You know, keeping their noses clean.
Okay, that makes sense. So how does data mining fit into this whole GRC system?
Well, companies are actually using it to do things like predict project timelines, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
They're feeding the system all this historical data, you know, like how complex was a project, what kind of skill sets were needed, even down to like the number of lines of code.
Wow, they really factor in all the details.
It's pretty amazing. And this lets them make these incredibly accurate predictions about how long a project's going to take. And that's super valuable for things like resource allocation, risk management, you name it.
So it sounds like data mining, it's not just for, like, you know, Amazon recommending products. It has all these other applications and all these other fields.
Oh, absolutely. And as technology keeps advancing, I mean, the potential applications for data mining, they just keep growing. It's a field that's constantly changing and evolving.
So we've been talking a lot about kind of the what of data, but let's shift gears a bit and talk about the how. The second article jumps into organizational modeling, which I kind of think of as like creating the blueprint for how a company is structured. How do you visualize it?
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Think of like a company as this complex machine, right? Lots of moving parts. Organizational modeling is like creating that blueprint, that roadmap, showing how all the different pieces fit together and work together.
And just like machines have evolved over time, I imagine, so have organizational models, haven't they?
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
We've come a long way from those rigid hierarchies of, you know, past. Think about like the early 1900s. Frederick Winslow Taylor, he was developing his time and motion studies. Remember that? Yeah, his work was revolutionary for its time, but it led to these, well, you know, pretty hierarchical, pretty inflexible organizational structures, I guess you could say.
Which, I mean, hey, it made sense back then, right? For factories, assembly lines, that kind of thing. But the modern workplace, it's a whole different ballgame.
Totally. It's not so much about assembly lines anymore. It's more about, you know, being able to adapt, innovate, and respond to change quickly. And that takes a different kind of organizational structure.
Right. And the article talks about a few different models, functional, market-oriented, and matrix. Can you kind of break those down for us? Explain what each one looks like?
Sure. So like a functional structure, that's your classic org chart, right? You've got your marketing department, sales department, engineering, each one with their own, you know, clear responsibilities. It's very, you know, clear cut, which can be good for efficiency, but it can also lead to these silos where departments aren't really talking to each other.
Yeah, like everyone's working on their own little island, not really collaborating.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, a market-oriented structure, that's more focused on, well, the market, or even like different segments of the market. So think of a company that has, let's say, different product lines, each one targeted at a different type of customer. They might have whole teams dedicated to each product line with, you know, deep expertise in that specific market.
Okay, so it's less about sticking to those rigid internal departments and more about being able to respond to, well, like you said, what the market actually needs. What about the matrix structure? That one always seemed a little more, I don't know, complex to me.
It can be, yeah. A matrix structure tries to kind of combine the best of both worlds, you could say. So you might have employees reporting to like both a functional manager and a project manager, for example. Mm-hmm. This can be great for collaboration, getting people from different departments working together, but it also requires, you know, crystal clear communication. Everyone needs to be on the same page about who's doing what.
Yeah, otherwise I can see how that could get messy really fast. So how does a company even begin to choose which model is the best fit for them? It seems like it would be a tough decision.
Well, it's a bit like, you know, finding the right shoes, right? It all depends on where you're going and what you're going to be doing. Mm-hmm. For companies, they have to think about things like, you know, how big is the company? What industry are they in? What are their overall goals? Even their company culture plays a role.
So like a small startup, probably not going to benefit from a super rigid hierarchical model.
Right. And a company with a really collaborative culture, they're probably not going to do well in a purely functional structure where everyone's, like we said, siloed off in their own departments.
Yeah.
It's all about finding that right fit for their specific situation.
So not a one-size-fits-all kind of thing. It seems like having someone who really gets these models, like a business analyst, would be super valuable for a company that's, you know, trying to navigate all this.
Absolutely. A good business analyst, they can come in, look at the company's needs, analyze how things are currently structured, and recommend a model that actually aligns with the company's goals.
It's like having an architect for your organization, right?
Yeah.
Someone who can help design and build a structure that's, you know, both functional and aesthetically pleasing, or in this case, I guess, functional and profitable.
Now you're making me think about how even the design of an office space can reflect the organizational model, but we can save that for another time. The main takeaway here is that organizational modeling, it's not just a one-size-fits-all solution, right? It's about finding that tailored approach to optimize a company's structure, and its processes.
And speaking of processes, I think this ties back to what we were talking about earlier with data mining, doesn't it? It's like data mining helps optimize those micro-level processes, like, you know, predicting how long a project's going to take. And then organizational modeling helps optimize things at a more macro level, right? Like designing efficient workflows for the whole organization.
You got it. That's a great observation.
Mm-hmm.
They really do work together, these two concepts. Data mining provides the raw insights to fine-tune those processes within an existing structure.
Yeah.
And then organizational modeling creates a structure where those processes can actually thrive. It's like one informs the other and vice versa.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like a data-informing structure shaping how the data is used. Now, you mentioned that choosing the right organizational model depends on a lot of different factors.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of those key things that a company should be thinking about when they're trying to figure out, okay, what's the best model for us?
Well, like I said before, it's about context, mm-hmm. right? It's like finding the right pair of shoes. It all depends on where you're going and what you'll be doing. For a company, some of those factors include their size, the industry they operate in, what they're hoping to achieve, and even their company culture.
So a small startup with a flat hierarchy probably wouldn't benefit from a rigid hierarchical model, and a company with a highly collaborative culture might not thrive in a purely functional structure.
Exactly. And it's important to remember that each model has its own pros and cons. Like, a functional structure can be really efficient, but it might stifle innovation. A market-oriented structure can be super adaptable, but could lead to siloed teams. And a matrix structure can be great for collaboration, but could create confusion about roles and responsibilities if it's not managed carefully. It really is all about finding the right fit for the specific situation.
And that's where having the expertise of someone like a business analyst who understands these models can be super helpful, right?
Exactly. A skilled business analyst can help a company assess its needs, analyze its current structure, and recommend a model that actually aligns with its goals.
It's like having an architect for your organization, someone who can help you design and build a structure that's functional, and in this case, profitable.
You got it. The main point is that organizational modeling isn't a one-size-fits-all deal. It's about tailoring the approach to optimize the organization's structure and processes.
And as we talked about, data mining plays a key role in that optimization process by providing those insights needed to fine-tune the processes and make good decisions.
Absolutely. And this leads us to a really interesting question. What happens when the data we've used to build our models, you know, both for data mining A and D organizational modeling, encounter something totally unexpected?
You're talking about those black swan events, right? The unpredictable stuff that throws a wrench in our perfectly laid plans. But how can you even prepare for something that you, by definition, can't predict? You're talking about those black swan events, right? The unpredictable stuff that throws a wrench in our perfectly laid plans. But how can you even prepare for something that you, by definition, can't predict?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, if we knew exactly when and where these black swan events were going to pop up, well, they wouldn't be unpredictable.
Right. Okay, so are we just supposed to throw our hands up and say, all right, anything goes, there's got to be some way to navigate all this uncertainty?
There is. But it starts with acknowledging that, look, our models, they have limitations. As amazing as data mining and organizational modeling can be, they're still based on past data, right? They can't magically see into the future and predict events that have never happened before.
So you're saying we need to be careful not to put too much faith in the models, thinking they have all the answers.
Exactly. They're incredibly useful for understanding trends, for helping us make smart decisions, but they're not crystal balls. We can't treat them like that.
Mm.
And that's where, you know, human judgment comes in. Adaptability, being able to look beyond just the data and consider all sorts of possibilities, even the ones that seem a little, you know, out there, a little improbable.
So rather than trying to predict every possible thing that could happen, we should be focused on building organizations that are, I don't know, more flexible, more resilient, able to roll with the punches when those unexpected challenges inevitably come up.
Exactly. It's about building a culture that embraces change rather than being afraid of it, where employees at all levels feel empowered to make decisions and, you know, take charge when things get a little crazy.
And I guess that also means having systems in place for, like, really clear and fast communication when those black swan events, DO, happen. Because if everyone's totally caught off guard, it's going to be that much harder to respond in an effective way.
100%. It's about being proactive instead of reactive. You know, thinking ahead about potential disruptions, having some backup plans in place just in case. And it's about learning from those black swan events when they DO happen. You know, updating our models, our system, so we can be more resilient the next time around. Because never know, right? What seems completely unpredictable today might become a predictable pattern tomorrow if we gather the right data and learn from what happened.
It really does sound like navigating those unpredictable events, it takes this balance of data, structure, and that human element, right? Like, we need the data to guide us, the structure to keep us organized, but we also need that flexibility, that ability to improvise when things go off script.
I couldn't have said it better myself. We need to accept that we don't have all the answers, but we have the tools, and more importantly, we have the ability to learn and adapt as we go. And I don't know about you, but I think that's pretty exciting.
It is exciting. Well, to our listener out there, as you're figuring out all of this, remember, the most important thing you have is your own ability to think critically, to adapt to change, and to learn from every experience, the good, the bad, the predictable, and yeah, even the unpredictable.
And don't underestimate those what-if questions. Keep asking them, even when they take you beyond the comfort of your data and your models. You never know what amazing insights you might uncover.
That's some great advice to wrap things up on. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Until next time, keep exploring, keep asking those tough questions, and most importantly, keep learning.